T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
What's Marty's plan for WrestleMania? He's got to have a plan.
Does Marty know what WrestleMania is? All right, those are your headlines. So let's just go to Marty. He's on the Western Hotline.
I'm going to make a bet here because, you know, these shows come in and out. Not only does Marty know about WrestleMania, you have to have met a professional wrestler at some point when wrestling's coming to town and the NHL is, and you're there with a team. You have to have met a wrestler at some point.
Listen, I was a huge wrestling fan, but I would when I was a kid. So it was the WWF at the time. I was a huge like Coco Beware, Randy Macho Man Savage, the Hart Brothers. Like I went to see them in Quebec City, and on my way out, the wrestlers were coming out at the same time, and they were all in the parking lot taking pictures and signing autographs, and I got to. You know, to hang out with them. I was probably, what, 7 or 8 at the time. So we're talking mid-80s. I've not really been a wrestling fan, you know, in my adult life, but I'll tune in just because that's going to be an event on TV.
Right. It's on.
Yeah, there's something involving some kind of skill. Your kids aren't into it? Like, I wasn't into it. I lost my love for it, too, as I got older. And then Jonathan was into it, and he kind of caught me watching. And now every time they come through KeyBank Center, we go watch them. I went up to Toronto for SummerSlam a couple years ago. Any of your kids follow wrestling at all?
No, not at all. I think my son is in every other sport. Listen, he pays attention to college basketball, college football, NBA, the NFL, Major League Baseball. He's huge into baseball in the summer. So I don't know that wrestling ever caught on. Just, you know, he's a sports center type of guy, and wrestling is usually not very well talked about on sports center. So that's probably why.
Right. Hey, Marty, so all this week we're watching games, regular season games from the 05-06 team. As you sit back and watch those games, what are some of the things you've been thinking about the team, that season? What's been coming to your mind?
How talented that team was, how incredibly talented and deep that team was. I watch a player like Tony Lundman, and I thought Tony was a great player. And I really, if I look back, I think, well, what would be Tony's, you know, role on the team? Play defensive hockey, get the puck out of the zone, and not make any mistakes. And now I watch the game, and I'm like, man, like, he used to skate the puck up the ice. He used to make plays at the blue line. He had a great shot. I'm thinking, did I not evaluate that team the way that it really was? There's certain players that surprise me in the way that they can play the skill game. But I think this team was so talented and still so young because, you know, this is Vanek's first year, Pominville's first year, Roy's first year. Guys like Afinogenov really coming into their own. So, and we haven't even talked about Drury and Briere and all those guys. So I'm having a lot of fun watching it because of how talented this team was. And, you know, the season that we're talking about, the 05-06 season, you look at last night's game, no Tim Connelly, no Danny Briere. You know, before that, it was no J.P. Dumont. There was a lot of injury, but it didn't seem to slow anybody down.
And I got one other name for you. You know, in terms of guys that were lost over the course of that playoff, you know, Tim Connelly goes out with the injury. But I remember the Carolina series thinking the biggest loss was Talinder. I mean, Talinder in 05-06. My headset fell off.
You okay?
Talinder, yeah, I'm okay.
All right.
Talinder in 05-06, Marty, like, he was new and fresh, and like he was a revelation. Or he was just so solid. And he and Ludman playing together, when they lose to Linder in that Carolina series, I mean, there's, you know, McKee and Newman and Kalinin as well, who had been battling injuries, but winning game three and losing to Linder, I mean, just what a blow, because he was such an important part of what you guys did back there.
And again, it goes back, that defensive pairing of Tony Lundman and Henrik Talinder were so good. You watched the game last night, and Talinder made a play. It actually drew a penalty, a high-sticking penalty on Jason Spezza. But he got the puck in really tight space behind the net, and he turned back twice, and Spezza was completely lost. Like, went to follow him, and all of a sudden, like, Hank is turning one way, and Spezza's... he can't keep up with him, and then he tries to go again for Talinder, and he can't keep up with him again, and has to try to lift his stick and misses and gets a high-sticking penalty. And I looked at that play, and again, Talinder was not like Brian Campbell. Hank was tall, a lot more lanky, so it had to be a lot more difficult to be able to maneuver on the ice as well as he did, but he was so smooth. Such a great skater, and man, he was a great guy too. Was one of the worst and best dressed. You know, we talked about the player poll that just came out in the NHL. I think if you'd have polled the Sabres at the time, they would have said, who is the best dressed player on the team? Some guys would have said Henrik Talinder, and then who's the worst dressed? It would have been Henrik Talinder as well. He just had his own style, European style. And ahead of his time, absolutely. He wore the tight, you know, corduroy velour type of suits, and you never saw that in the mid-2000s.
I was reading the article you wrote, Marty, about that season. Well, actually, you wrote about the lead-up to that season and then the season, and I was curious. One of the things you brought up, there was a quote from you. I don't remember what game it was. No, maybe it was coming out of the All-Star break. You said something about the team basically didn't play defense. It was so easy to score goals that maybe you kind of like stopped worrying about defense. What was it like to be a goalie with a team with that kind of firepower in front of you, that if you had an off night, if you gave up 3-4 goals, whatever, you could still easily win the hockey game?
That's why those classic games and this week, those classic games, people may say, well, why did you pick those games? And for me, as a player at the time, I look at those games as being a key moment in the season. So you look at the game Monday night. We play Washington. We're up 6-1 with 11 minutes left in the second period. I mean, we haven't even played half the game. We're up 6-1. But as a goalie, like, not that I was having my best of game, but still – we played such a style that, you know, we were still opening the door to other teams. So then it became 6-2, 6-3, 6-4. We end up winning 8-5. And then if you look at the scoreboard, you say, oh, 8-5. And, you know, Marty saw 39 shots. But I think it was the quality of chances that we gave up at sometimes that was the problem. And the game tonight, it's a win against Toronto. And this is the game that I was talking about mainly in that article, that Lindy was really trying to get us to play good defensively. We had just won 8-4, 6-2, 6-1, 7-0. We were scoring goals at will, but he knew that for us to be good in the playoffs, we needed to play well defensively. So this game against Toronto, I remember he asked us, like, we got to be good defensively. We have to tighten things down. We win 3-1. We're thinking, oh, this is going to be great. Like, we can turn on the defensive hockey whenever we want. And I think the next four games, we lose 5-4, you know, 6-2, 4-0. Like, all of a sudden, like, the defensive game just went away. And I think for a coach, it's the best thing that can happen. By that point, we already had 93 points in the regular season. We already had clinched a playoff spot basically, and Lindy was able to use that to drill it into our heads that we needed to play well defensively, and I think it helped us, you know, finish the season off and get some success in the playoffs.
Marty with us on our West Hur Hotline. You have, so in that season, you have, what was it, a 13-game win streak? a personal 13-game win streak, right? And then,
well, a personal, you know how that works, right? It's a personal 13 starts.
Okay.
In a row win streak, because I had lost a couple of games where I came in relief.
Okay. In that stretch, do you think, like, was that the best stretch of your career in terms of how you were playing? Because there could have been nights where you were off and you gave up four goals, but they scored five. Was that the best stretch or no? Was there another stretch you think of, man, I was in a zone for like 3 weeks one time?
It is the best stretch when you consider winning games. I remember in my career when I was in Philadelphia, you know, the 7-game series against Washington, the 5-game series after that against Montreal. This probably was my best stretch of hockey because every save, every game meant so much, and I came through and I played extremely well, and we ended up making it to the conference finals my first year in Philly. But in the regular season, when you consider that it didn't matter what you did, like I look at beating Washington 8-5. How does that happen? How do you, as a goalie, can look back and say this was normal for us to win 8-5? It wasn't something that happened once in the year. Like, we either lost, and I lost some bad ones. You know, I lost 10-4, I believe it was, against the Ottawa Senators. But to be able to, you know, in a matter of 2 weeks, turn around and winning 8-5s and winning some really close game as well, I do believe that was my best stretch of hockey that I've had in the regular season, winning those 13 games.
Before I let you go, I texted you this. You know, so the player poll came out this week from the Players Association. I want to make an adjustment. I want to take just a handful of questions from that, but use it for your playing career. You ready?
Yep. I'm ready.
Who was the most complete player?
Oh, I would have to say Sidney Crosby. Obviously, he came in a little later. So it's funny, I'll stick around in Pittsburgh, and I haven't a chance to have played against Mario Lemieux, so I think Mario, to me, was the best player I've played against by far. Like, he was just, even when he was hurt and even when he returned, he was the guy that was the best player. But I think the most complete player would have to be Sidney Crosby in the time that I played in the NHL.
Who was the best trash talker in the game?
Well, there's a few of them. I think Sean Avery would probably be at the top of that list. And I think he's one of those, like, you saw Brad Marchand is the best and worst trash talker.
Yep.
Like, it's just people hate him, but respect what he's able to do as well. I think Sean Avery would have been the same. He would have been the most hated player, but also probably considered the best trash talker. And listen, I played with Aves with the New York Rangers, and I would still say the same thing. There was some morning I woke up and I went to the rink and I'm like, man, like, Sean Avery is a great guy. And look at him helping around and wanting to have a conversation with you. And some days I was like, man, he is the worst guy. And I, you know, why is he even here? And it was the same thing on the ice. And he was a really good trash talker because he didn't see no limit. He just went over any lines that some other guys would never cross.
Marty, you don't have to name names, but, you know, sometimes in the heat of those battles, you come to not like a guy, and then afterwards, it's fine, you bury the hatchet. Is there anybody still that you don't like?
Result? There's one of them.
Okay. You don't have to name names.
Matt Cook.
You can go ahead and name names. That's fine.
I don't like Matt Cook either.
I can go ahead. Matt Cook. And listen, there's a somebody sent me the clip on YouTube. It's a very bad VHS type clip on YouTube, but we were playing against the Vancouver Canucks in that had to be the 2000, no, maybe earlier than that, maybe 98 or 99 season. I think I just got called up for this game, and we're in Vancouver. We're down 6-2. Things are not going well, and I go to the corner to play the puck, and Matt Cook has come in, and he bumps me. Like, he comes in contact with me, and I completely lost it, and he fell down the corner, and I jumped on top of him and started firing punches and just wanted to beat the crap out of this guy. And it stems from playing when I was in Rochester and he was in Syracuse, Matt Cook was playing for the Syracuse Crunch, hated him. And I still to this day, like, I don't know the guy, but if you say the name Matt Cook, like, the hair on my arms just comes right up, and I hate the guy. So, yeah, and probably the only one in the league. So it's not like I have a list of guys. It's probably the only one in the league.
I never thought I'd hear those words come out from you about anybody.
That's why I asked it. What month, when was this game? I got to find this box score.
You know what? I will, how about this? I will tweet the clip
right
when we come off, and then you can go and check it out, and with the scoreboard and the year, you'll be able to figure it out. But Felix Podvan was the goalie, I believe, with the Vancouver Canucks, and he skated to center ice, and I remember thinking, I'm in trouble, because Felix had beaten up on Ron Ekstall a few years before, and I'm thinking, oh boy, I knew Felix, so I think he may have taken it easy with me, but I thought to myself, I'm in trouble.
Wow. I look forward to the clip. Thanks for hanging out with us. Always nice chatting with you, Marty.
Well, thanks to for you guys keeping everybody entertained in the morning, and I hope that people appreciate what you guys do. So continue your great job.
Stay safe, stay healthy, sir.
Yeah, you too.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.